Around the Grounds. Port Adelaide coach Ken Hinckley.
Great to have the Port coach with us, Ken Hinckley, on RSN 927 Sports 7, Michael Christian and Mick McGuan. Ken, good morning.
Morning, Chris. Hey, Mick.
G'day, Kenny.
Now, have you recovered, mate, after Sunday?
It's been one of those trying parts of any season to start for us this year, and we feel like we're going okay, and then we get a whack of reality, and we got to start again.
Someone described it as being in cruise control with 6 or 7 minutes to go. You were 17 points up. There was a 4A forward. You had loose players. Could have easily been 23 points, and from there you lost the game. Have you reviewed in detail that last 7 or 8 minutes with the players?
Yeah, we did, Chris. And that's where we spent most of our time, to be fair, because, as you said, we didn't play outstanding football any part of the day. And, to Carlton's credit, they were able to keep us under real pressure. But we did manage to get that 3-goal up. We had a couple opportunities, to turn that into 4 and probably even 5 goals with Jared Pollack missing one. And, we just didn't complete the task. And then defensively, we broke down because we felt pressure. We felt a bit of the heat coming. And, Carlton were pushing really hard and we just weren't calm enough and composed enough when we needed to be, and that's a poor reflection on us as a group.
Brett from Wangaratta has just gave us a text message, Kenny. He just wants to ask you, when you got the 17 points clear in the final term, did your players coast, or was it Carlton simply too good? And the back end of that question, also, does he concede his side is too inconsistent to play finals at this stage of the year?
Yeah, we can certainly... the players didn't coast, but certainly Carlton pushed, there's no doubt about that. I think our players were desperate to get the job done, and then that led to them being not as composed as they normally would be. And, when you get in that situation, you make poor decisions. Carlton get a bit of a sniff, they get a run on, and they were able to put score on the board. And, in the last couple of goals they get, we should have been able to defend them. We just were making poor decisions. And as far as the team goes, yes, we are inconsistent at the moment. Yes, we are a 50-50 football team at the moment, so that puts you at risk to continue on late in the year. Now, we're setting out to play finals this year, and we're still on that mission right now, and we're doing everything we can to get there.
Kenny, are your leaders living up to the portfolio of being leaders of your club?
Well, they're struggling personally from a form point of view, Mick, some of them, and there's no doubt about that. We have that conversation, and that comes back to me as much as it is them. I've got to make sure that the style of football that we need to play is something that they're capable of getting done. And then their own form is, sometimes a little bit up and down. What you don't want, though, which is your own individual form, as you and I both know, is your leadership needs to remain the same. You need to be able to create the clarity for the players and the teammates around you and show them the way, even if you're not getting a kick. Now, our leaders, and particularly with Travis, the captain, no one can be working harder than Travis at the moment to get his things done. Him and I together, we lead the footy club. We take responsibility for that, and we're both not happy with where we're at.
What did he say about his first half on the weekend?
Oh, no, we go through a lot of stuff with Travis, and not just particularly his own form, but he knows that he was struggling, and he's not in the touch that he would like to be in, but he knows there's only one way out of that, Mick, and there's no secret recipe for him. He's just got to continue to work hard.
So what was he doing wrong? Was it his pattern running? Was it his inability to get to the drop of the ball? What did you think as a coach that you could teach him to do better?
Yeah, look, I think he just wasn't clean when he needed to be, and that's crucial to any inside mid, is you need to be clean enough in the contest. And Travis was a little bit reactionary, I think, at times, because he was just wanting to get the right thing done for the team. And, I said to him actually as late as yesterday that, mate, you've just got to trust yourself sometimes, and you've just got to believe in what you are good at and know what you're good at and use those weapons as best you possibly can. Because when you've been in, we've all been there. When you start second-guessing your own ability, your own form, you can make yourself worse, and that's what Trav can't do.
Yeah, it's a good comment. Who stood up on the weekend? Let's look at the positives.
Oh, look, over the course of the year, we've had the inconsistency of team performance, which has come from player performance as well. And, we've had some players, young Carl Amon's had a solid game, and he makes one, pretty big mistake in the game. But he's going to get better from that. Some of the younger boys that we've been playing have been really strong for us. I think that's no doubt. Trengove, again, I thought, he's manfully battling in the ruck, undersized, and, Cruiser was pretty big for them. But, I think overall, across the ground, we've been able to rectify some of our stoppage slide that's been really poor in the first part of the year. We've been able to get to at least break even without a ruck. I think that's really positive for us, but, we've got a significant challenge coming this week.
Ken, we talked earlier about, Mick and I, about the role of the ruckman and how it's diminishing with fewer boundary throws because of the deliberate out of bounds. You've got third man up at contests around the ground, which are having an impact as well. Is Jackson Trengove a long-term option in that position, given all that?
Look, I think he could be. There's no doubt, Chris, that he could play ruck and be competitive there, because he's 197. He's not small. But I think if you look at the best teams in the competition, you know, we talk about the ruck diminishing. You know, I think the best teams, North Melbourne got Goldstein. Geelong got Smith and Stanley. You know, you go through the best teams. Nat Nui's there at West Coast, obviously. And I think when you've got a really strong, dominant ruckman, it does give you an advantage, whatever the number of stoppages are, that it's pretty significant. And I think that's really important still. We know we've got Paddy out of our side, we've got Lobes out of our side. We think that we would like to have a really strong key ruck in our side, which would give us some ascendancy at ground level. And I don't think that still changes.
Ken Hinckley is with us, Support Adelaide coach on RSN 927 Sports Heaven.
Kenny, give us an insight when you witness a player like Paddy Cripps, how strong around the footy he is. How do you combat such a big presence around the ball?
Well, he's a really big body, Mick, as we know. He's 194. He's an incredible size for a midfielder. You know, him and Fontenpally, those new age big body midfielders who have got real size about them too. So they cause you some significant battles. And they're strong, obviously. And you know, we're like, we've got Ollie in a similar sense, but not quite as tall at 189, 190. And some of our mids are reasonable size, but they're at a whole new level. And they've got great reach. You know, and I've watched Blickard a little bit at Geelong too, who plays in a, you know, not a dissimilar way, but not as probably aggressive at contest. But they just are hard work to get around, because you've got to control so much of their space, and that makes it a bit more harder to limit what they can do.
Text message via Raz, please ask Ken why Ollie Wines is having such long spells on the bench. Is it a fitness thing or part of their rotations policy?
It's certainly not a fitness thing. Ollie's as fit as we can get him. And you know, and look, the rotation gap now is a bit bigger than normal. It's 3 or 4 minutes, where it probably used to be 90 seconds, but that's because of the 90 rotations. We prefer Ollie out there as often as we possibly can.
Big challenge this week against West Coast. You are at home, Ken, so that's a major advantage. And West Coast have really struggled with their away form. Have you studied that, and do you understand why that is happening to them, and can that help you?
Yeah, certainly. It's certainly something we can get a positive out of, Chris. There's no doubt about that, because the facts are the facts. They're, you know, their travelling form hasn't been where they would like it to be, and you know, that gives us an opportunity. But you know, it's what we do with the opportunity. And some of the really glaring numbers, you know, the differential in entries for and against when they're home or away are really significant. You know, but that's a fair bit to do with the style of play you can get away with. You know, they haven't been playing against, you know, poor sides in any way. You know, they went to Geelong and played. We all understand the difficulties of travelling down there. I don't think they're in as bad a form away as it perhaps maybe the scoreboard looks, but you know, I think they're going to create us some concerns. But our issue and our major response to them needs to be, what concerns can we create them on areas that they don't like? And that's what we've got to break down.
A headache you could give them is include Robbie Gray. Will he play?
Yes, yeah. Hopefully that'll be a good headache for him, Mick. And Robbie will definitely play. You know, trained last night. Everything went well. So at this stage, unless something goes wrong between now and Saturday afternoon, Robbie will be in the team.
Will you bring back Ali Paddy Carlisle, who's been sidelined, played last week at SNFL level? Will he play on Kennedy?
No, we won't bring him back. He's just not quite right, Mick. He's coming back off a fractured wrist, and he's, you know, he's only just got the brace off a week ago. He wanted to play straight away. I just think his touch is a little bit off for him, and he just needs another week, I reckon, or two, perhaps playing in the stamp. And when we had that conversation, he's pretty honest that you know, he's just not got his touch where he needs him, and he can't play on a Kennedy when you're not in great touch.
And what about Jay Schultz? Is he far away?
Getting closer, probably 3 to 4 weeks. You know, leading up to the bye, we think, and you know, Matt White a bit similar, that we might be able to get 3 or 4 of those boys back, really experienced players back into our team, either just before or just after the bye, which will obviously be very handy.
And Sam Gray, will he come back into the team?
No. Sam will play again in the Magpies. We'll probably only bring Robbie in. I think, you know, even though last week we lost the game, I think over the last 3 or 4 weeks we've been building, and you know, we want to back the people in that have been there and give them the opportunity.
And Kenny, the next 3 weeks, I know it's 1 week at a time, but West Coast this week, as we've discussed, but then Melbourne and Collingwood, two teams that I reckon at the start of the season you would have chalked up as wins. It's a critical 3 week period for you. If you win all three, all of a sudden you're 7-4 and you're in a great spot.
If. You know what coaching's like, boys. We don't get any further ahead than West Coast this week, and we're not even going to dream it, because every time you start to think about anything like that, it just goes wrong, and it's just too risky to even think about. And in the competition, what you do, you go, people say at the start of the year you would look at a side and say, yeah, well, you should win this game. I don't look at any game, I've got to be honest, I don't look at any game and say we should win this game. I look at every game and say we need to play at our best to be in this game. And that's the, and AFL footy, and we've seen it more and more this year, isn't it got closer again, that the margins are so small that if you're focusing any further ahead than where you need to, and that's today, you get in trouble.
Just a general question then, Kenny. I'd love your commentary on Carlton's improvement under Brendan Bolton. Where do you think they have structured their team better? Obviously, everyone's seeing what they're doing in their setup defensively. Is that the reason as to why they're winning games of footy to this point?
Look, I think that it comes with a bit of momentum, Mick, as much as anything, too. And they're more senior players. You know, let's be honest. They've got 8 top 10 picks or something in the side that took the ground last week. Mm. You know, and far more experienced than us purely on ageing games. So they're not as young as far as a developer. So they've got some real experience. So when they get some confidence and they get going, their best players, like you say, Gibbs and Murphy and Cruiser, those type of people. And then you've got Jamison and Rowe, and they've got
Simpson.
They've got plenty of experience that helps them go in the right direction. I think Bolt's done a great job and gave them some foundations that are really strong and defensively. And I think they're now growing with that, with some confidence with their offensive stuff as well. You know, and they've certainly, they've come back into the competition with some real force at the moment, and they've got great belief.
Now, the shot clock, it looks like it's here to stay. Have you got a strong view either way?
I really couldn't tell you it was even there, to be honest.
I reckon you'll know it's there when you're about 3 points down and someone's having a shot at goal, Kenny, with about 20 seconds to go on the clock.
Maybe last week, if we had the shot clock, we might have been able to do something better. But I think it's a little new thing for the game. I don't think it hurts us in any way. And, you know, I think it's pretty positive, most of it.
Good on you, mate. Thanks very much for that. Great to chat.
How's your grand going, mate?
Races tonight, Mick.
And I thought I'd ask that question. Sorry?
We hope to get the money tonight, but we'll see how he goes. Currently, Lewis tonight, race 9 at Angle Park, I think.
Yeah, what price for our punters?
No, not great. I think you'll be yours for mine.
Ooh, evens.
We like that.
Beautiful.
Like that.
Good luck, Kenny.
Good luck with that. Good luck against the West Coast. Thanks for your time, mate. Ken Hinckley, the coach of Port Adelaide, joining us on RSN 927 Sports Heaven. Now, just for the punters, that was very quick, Mick, just Angle Park.
Yeah, race 9 tonight. I'll have to look it up, actually, exactly what the greyhound's name is.
We'll come back to that after the break.
We've got a heads-up segment at 8:15 now on the back of Kenny.
Correct. Coming up, it is the breakfast menu, 1-300-652-927. Your opportunity to get involved in the program. We've got a great prize for our best contributor, an amazing 30-minute experience in the simulator as a Top Gun pilot. You're in the F-16 fighter cockpit. JetFlightSimulatorMelbourne.com.au. It's a fantastic prize that's coming up for our best contributor in the breakfast menu.
Yeah, race 9, number 4, Canley Lewis is the greyhound's name. Yeah, Peter Jovanovic trains it, and it's won its last 3. It's got a picket fence against its name.
It's going beautifully for Ken Hinckley and others.